It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. Amen. No rains on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. Amen. No rains.
Whoa, wait a minute. Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert. And right now, I am going solo on that ass, but it's still the same. We're talking pro wrestling, TNA, AEW. We'll get into some WWE topics. And then, of course, I put Superman in the title as well, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Excuse me. So let's get to the elephant in the room. There's somebody here missing. It's a JD by God Oliva. Hold on, swig of water for JD. So here's what happened. So we were going to try to go at 9:30 Central Time. JD had a wrestling meet tonight, but he's like, I think I can make that work. They got out a little bit late, so we pushed it back, and then we pushed it back. And then on his way home, his wife called him and said that the power is out and the internet is down at his house. And I already have the link up. People are already in the chat. I saw you guys. And I'd already kind of like scheduled the time. So I was just like, well, I'm just going to go live anyway. So I'm just going solo for a little bit. JD, it looks like he's not going to be able to join us. I'm gonna actually text the link to JD right now. Just in case he wants to call and talk some shit for a couple minutes. But he's got some bigger fish to fry at the JD household. So what we're going to do is this is going to be episode 88. And then JD and I are very likely, almost guaranteed, we're going to record again on Sunday. Okay. And so that'll be episode 89. And then we'll try to do a little bit of extra stuff. We'll do some overtime stuff. But we'll have some more content come out on Sunday. And that'll be the weekly show for next week. And we'll take the rest of the week off for Christmas. However, even when we take the week off of our regular show, we're always on the Patreon, patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow, cranking out content all throughout the week. I cranked out another good, I think almost 30-minute episode on Tuesday morning at like 4:30 a.m. talking some TNA topics, and I see some TNA fans in the chat, with exception to one of my Canadian brothers. There's a lot of TNA fans in the chat, so we're going to talk some TNA stuff. Got a lot of topics to get to, and I do want to talk about Lee Fitting as well. I think that's an interesting topic. I think all three companies, all three major North American companies, if any of you guys say that Game Changer Wrestling is in a major North American company, I want you guys to kick yourself out of the chat, okay? And I want you to give yourself a 1-star review, but still give us a 5-star. But I would say of the, not North American, American companies, okay, because I think North American, as far as major, you still got to throw in AAA and CMLL. But of the three American-specific companies, TNA, WWE, and AEW, they got some drama going on. At least there's some controversy surrounding their companies. And we're going to get started with Lee Fitting first, because that news just broke earlier. I guess it would have been last night that it came out from The Athletic that ESPN exec Lee Fitting's history of offensive, lewd behavior finally caught up to him. Through several different sources, The Athletic reported that Wednesday that Fitting's dismissal occurred after an HR complaint about inappropriate behavior in 2023. Shortly after the complaint was made, an investigation took place, which included ESPN officials questioning multiple employees, including some prominent female staffers. A memo sent by Norby Williamson, another top ESPN exec, on August 24, 2023, said Fitting was no longer with the company and ESPN would be finalizing a new production structure for the shows he oversaw, including College Game Day and Monday Night Football. Okay, so there's a bunch of pop-up ads on this website, the New York Post. It was the first one that came out. Okay, he was escorted out of the building by security just 1 week before the 2023 college football and NFL season. So Fitting joined the WWE as head of media. So he replaced Kevin Dunn, essentially. And he's actually done like a remarkable job replacing Kevin Dunn. Just 5 months after he was ousted at ESPN, Athletic spoke to more than 20 women, including six who participated in the investigation, who described a workplace culture under Fitting that had offensive and sexual language, including lewd jokes about women and their appearance. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it looks like Lee Fitting is very fitting for the WWE and their culture. You know, he obviously has denied some of the stuff happened. There were some things he was accused of that he said, yeah, I did do that. But for the most part, he's denying everything. So I think that I don't know that WWE knew what was going on here when they hired him. I would assume that they did. I would assume, like, these are not stupid people. So I think they knew what was going on. And they were willing to accept the risk of bringing him into the company, even with all the stuff that Vince McMahon had been accused of, and we'll still say accused, right? Even with all the controversy surrounding Vince McMahon, they probably said he's such a prominent figure in television production, specifically sports television production. We are willing to accept the risk to bring this guy on. Now, what he's being accused of, now don't take this the wrong way, it's really bad, but what he's being accused of is like child's play compared to what people have been getting accused of in pro wrestling for the last 40 to 50 years. And so they probably, like, while they don't, like, they're probably like, hey, look, you know, we're going to bring you on, but we know about this stuff. You can't pull that shit over here because we've got a lot of stuff going on. That might be the conversation that they had. And so they're willing to just accept the risk. And that's, you know, their prerogative. Do I think anything's going to happen with this Lee Fitting situation? No, not anything. Not unless something new happened under TKO's watch. They're not going to do anything, or unless something comes out where he forced himself on somebody against their will, something like that. But lewd comments, lewd gestures, and inappropriate talk in the workplace, they're probably not going to worry about that too much and be like, just don't do that here. Let's not have that stuff in our facility because of what we just went through with Vince McMahon. I think that kind of that talk was pretty commonplace for a long time in a lot of cultures, really, in a lot of workplaces, and some people never got it out of their system. One would hope that he got it out of his system. We could hope that he could get fired and then that's the end of him, but I think he's too important to WWE. I think they're just going to ignore this whole thing. Unless it gets to be too big that they can't ignore, I think they'll just ignore it. They'll act like it never happened, and nobody in the media will actually ask them any questions on it. This whole thing's going to get swept under the rug. It's not going to be a big deal. That's a shame, but that is my read on the situation. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. And the reason why I think that is for historical precedent. Vince McMahon aside, had it not gotten so egregious with Vince, like there was a line, right, where there's like inappropriate behavior and now there's like fucking social terrorism, which is kind of what, like, there's like a lot of wild stuff that he's being accused of. Like, there's levels to this, right? I think on the level of what he's being accused of, still really bad. I don't think that TKO is going to really do anything. I mean, look, Dana White slapped his wife on camera, right? It's like a video, and they didn't do anything to him. leafing isn't as important to TKO as Dana White, clearly, but he's still like a pretty important guy. He's really turned around the production of that company and is actually like, it's mostly, as far as like aesthetically pleasing, it's pretty enjoyable from that aspect. There's still a lot about WWE that I'm not a big fan of, but from that aspect, it's like, it's night and day from when Kevin Dunn took over the company. So I don't really see anything happening. I don't think he's going anywhere. Chat, what do you think about Lee Fitting? Let me know. King of the North says, I'm glad you know Grant's team put out a statement immediately. Can't wait to see these criminals put away. I would love to see somebody get put away for this, you know, pending, you know, let's say they're guilty. I would love to see them get put away. I don't think that's happening. I think this is going to end up in a settlement. That's how this always ends up. Maybe that's me being pessimistic, but I think that's how this works. It's going to be a settlement. Io says, please be respectful to women. It's not respectful to women and men. Like, you just can't, you have to be professional at work. You can't have these lewd conversations and stuff like that. You're not in the locker room anymore. You're in a professional environment. You got to be a pro, right? That's not how it works. Okay. The shit that you say in the locker room, you can't say at work. You just can't. All right. Io says, let's be honest. Dana White is kind of hard to replace or fill in for. Yeah, he would be pretty difficult to replace, but I think he is replaceable. Promoters have been getting hired and fired forever. Like, we all thought that Vince McMahon wasn't replaceable and the company got better after he left, right? Everybody is replaceable at your job, okay? Everybody in this chat is completely replaceable. I am completely replaceable. In fact, they're actively trying to do that now since I submitted my retirement. So it's like, I was like, man, I thought it was important. I was like, no, they already have like the next in line ready to go. That's the cycle of life. That's just business. That's how it works. There's nothing we can do about it. But I am pretty sure that that he is replaceable. King of the North says Nick Khan was revealed as corporate officer number one, and he's still negotiating sponsorship deals. So I'd have to go back and read what that meant, the corporate sponsor, the corporate officer. But I think that, I don't think he was being accused of doing anything to her specifically. I think he was being accused of knowing that they were together. So I don't think he was ever being accused of knowing the extent of that relationship. So we have to, if we're going to say those things, we have to be accurate in what we're saying and what he's being accused of. Being corporate officer number one is a statement that we're making, but we have to put context behind the statement, especially in a public forum, if we're going to be responsible here. What was he actually being accused of under the title corporate officer number one? From my recollection, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, he was being accused of having knowledge of their relationship, but he is never at any point having knowledge of the extent of the relationship. So I just want to get that out of the way. I'm not saying this guy's a saint. I'm not saying this guy didn't know something. I'm saying as of right now, he hasn't been accused of that legal from like a legal perspective. Okay. So, but if he is accused and is found that he did know the extent of that relationship, more so than there was just a relationship, that he knew that this person allegedly was being trafficked, if he knew that, he's got to go down. That's all there is to it. As of right now, he hasn't been accused of that. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Again, I appreciate everybody's passion. I hope a lot of these suckers go down. I want to see hardened criminals do lots of time in jail. I happen to think, though, because I just like I live in modern society, these people just end up paying a fee. Like that's how this stuff works. That's what ends up going down. It's an unfortunate situation, but that's just the reality of the world that we live in. And that is it. Let's see. Josiah says, other Canadian. I got two Canadians in the chat. Canada, stand up. Are you guys going to get annexed, by the way? I saw that. I saw that old Mr. Trump calling Trudeau, who it looks like he might be getting ousted. What's going on with, like, I don't know Canadian politics, but something's going on, but they were calling him Governor Trudeau. I just want to say that if you guys get annexed, you guys are welcome to come across the line. And not only in TNA side, but into the U.S. side and come visit the Gilbert household. Josiah says he walked up to Grant and said, "I know who you are," with disdain. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but he's just acknowledged that, yeah, I know who you are. Doesn't mean he knew exactly what the extent of the relationship was. But again, I'm not making an excuse for the guy. Like, I'm just saying, like, what's public is public, and that's all that we know right now. So we can't say one way or the other definitively whether or not this dude knew something. But I believe, my opinion is that they knew about Lee Fitting before they brought him in. He doctored the Emmy stuff to get ESPN on Emmy. And by the way, I think I'm like, I don't really have a problem with that. It's like, the guy was just trying to get an Emmy. So I think he just doctored like some information on there just to try to get them nominated and win an Emmy. Because I think they didn't meet this certain criteria. I'm not sure what the criteria was. I think that's kind of like, oh, whatever. I don't really find that to be a big deal. So for him to get fired over that seemed kind of bogus. But it looks like he got fired over being a pig, right? An absolute pig at work. And we'll see what comes up of it. King of the North says, we're actually being blown to smithereens very soon. Well, guys, if you guys have been following the Witching Hour, and I have not done an episode on drones yet, we'll see if I get time over the holiday break. But I think the drones are coming in to take over. We're prepping for an alien invasion, and if I were the drones, I would go for Canada first, to be honest with you. Trudeau's not going anywhere until at least we have our election. Okay, well, now we're getting into too much politics. I was just making a joke about Canadians because I like to pick on you guys. All right. Now let's, you know what? Let's go ahead and get into some TNA talk because I saw some people in here talking smack. Of course, it was King first. Total nonstop pay cuts. All right. So earlier on the Patreon on Tuesday morning, I did like 30 minutes on what's going on with the TNA pay cuts. Okay. Or the so-called pay cuts. My information I got was from BQ. BQ did a video on the Impact Lounge YouTube. Check it out. He's got a very good sourcing on this one. So good. Like, I completely believe it. I know Dave had some sourcing on this too. Dave was missing some of the context of the story. Sean Ross Sapp also had part of this too, saying, yes, he had a different type of context. The guy who had the most context, and I'm going to try to explain it without blowing the deal. The guy who had the most context for the situation, and I could verify that this source is rock solid, was BQ. So go check out BQ's podcast. Okay. So what happened with the TNA pay cuts? Okay. So they had several talents. This happens in New Japan every year. This happens in TNA every year where a lot of contracts come due all at the same time. TNA signs very short-term contracts. A lot of contracts are like 6 months. There's some contracts that are like a year, and then other people, they sign for multiple years. Sometimes, like I've seen, I think the Motor City Machine Guns were in for like, they said they signed a multiple year deal and it turned out it was like 15 months, right? Because it was more than a year. They called it multiple year deal, right? So Kushida, sorry, I blanked for a second. Kushida, Trent Seven, Rhino, Jade Chung, looks like Aiden Prince, all in December. Jonathan Gresham in January. We all know that Jordan Grace is heading over to WWE by the end of January. Very likely, especially now that Jade Chung is gone. Looks like Josh Alexander's heading out too, which we all kind of saw coming. And then, of course, we had Speedball back in November. And then PCO might actually be on that list too, because PCO sent, he tweeted me in public. So then he DM'd me the same thing like right afterwards. So this is like public. I'm not like exposing a private DM exchange that I have, like me and him have never DM'd before. So it was weird that we were DMing each other, but he DM'd me the same thing he tweeted at me. And then one of his guys, from Montreal, Bertrand, he's the guy that did, it was him and Pat LaPrade that did the Andre the Giant book. Cannot remember his full name. So I do apologize for that. The guy Bertrand tweeted me like randomly saying that, because I sent out a tweet clarifying some stuff for people because the Tessa Blanchard stuff, which we covered last week. So they bring in Tessa, and then all of a sudden we're getting a lot of tweets. TNA LOL, first they fire Scott D'Amore and they hire Tessa. It's like, okay. Well, little known fact, TNA's business has gone up since Scott D'Amore left. Now people were trying to say, well, that's because of the seeds that Scott D'Amore planted. I don't think that's completely inaccurate. I think Scott D'Amore did have a lot to do with some of the success, specifically changing the name from Impact back to TNA. I thought that was a win. I didn't like it at the time. Turned out I was wrong. Okay. But the real success came 5 months after Scott D'Amore left, right around June, when a few things happened at the same time. Joe Hendry gets hot. Jeff Hardy becomes available, and the Hardy Boys get together. And all of a sudden, Jordan Grace and Joe Hendry are working NXT, right? And the Rascals. Give them some credit, too. And now, all of a sudden, ticket sales are up. App subscriptions are up. Pay-per-view buys are up. Some of that started to happen years previously. So, like, 2020, like, they've had some growth from 2022 to 2023. And then 2024 expanded big time. So this had been coming. This had been building. And they have been hitting these benchmarks with live attendance. And each benchmark they would hit would get them to, it would give them the confidence to be able to go bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's kind of what we've been seeing. And they wouldn't have been as confident if Joe Hendry didn't get hot, if the Hardy Boys didn't get hot, and if the NXT deal didn't happen. Scott D'Amore was the first one to kind of bridge the gap between TNA and WWE. But it was the Modern Anthem regime that started the talent exchange in June. Okay, if that makes sense to everybody. So yes, while he does get a little bit of credit, the current regime would get the most credit. They booked Hendry, they booked the Hardys, and they brokered the deal with NXT. They got the talent exchange that was very helpful to the company. Okay, so I said all that, and and then Bertrand replies back to me, and he said, "Well, Scott D'Amore." Basically implying that TNA doesn't respect PCO because of what he did in Montreal. He was supposed to win the world title in Montreal. PCO then replies that and then says, yeah, Scott D'Amore promised me that I would be the world heavyweight champion in Montreal. Scott then got fired and yada, yada, yada. So I get the feeling that maybe PCO might be on his way out because he wouldn't be publicly tweeting that he fell for Scott D'Amore offering him the world heavyweight title as part of signing a contract, which that guy's been around a long time. I can't believe he fell for that, to be honest with you. Scott D'Amore was a good negotiator. He knew how to get people to come work for his company. Offering them main events and world titles sounds like it's probably part of that offer. Now, if you look back on it, some of the Scott D'Amore guys that ended up getting world title runs and stuff, like even the short-term ones, and you got Alex Shelley's long-term one right before his contract expires. You're like, okay, that might have been Scott D'Amore's doing, right? I'm not here to say Scott D'Amore bad. That's not what I'm doing. I don't even have anything against Scott D'Amore. I think we've litigated why he was let go for a long time. We don't need to get back into that. However, if you take a look at some of the people that have been released, not released, but their contracts have expired, and we'll take three examples specifically, Jade Chung, Rhino, and Kushida. Those are all Scott D'Amore people. I don't know the extent of Trent Seven's relationship with Scott D'Amore. Okay, I can't verify that. He was signed by D'Amore, but I don't know that they're like tight. Okay, but I know the other three are. Rhino specifically, word is out that he was asked to take a pay cut. That is true. He was asked to take a pay cut. Okay, BQ broke it down. Here's the thing. The people that Scott D'Amore were close to were getting paid a lot more money than what Anthem thinks they're worth. And their contracts are coming due, so they tried to negotiate a contract at a lower rate, right? Because they're like, hey, like you're getting paid here, your contract's expired. If you want to come back, we'll sign you at this rate. Now, Sean Ross Sapp said that the day rate was the same, but they're offering less dates. I don't know how true that is. Sean's got good sources on that, so I'm just going to go ahead and believe that some people were offered less dates at the same rate. But that was probably a negotiation tactic, right, between the two sides, where Anthem is like, hey, we want you for X amount of dates, but at a lower rate, a more favorable rate for us. And they go, hey, what if we keep the same rate, but less dates? And they were just trying to bridge that gap and negotiate. That happens all the time. I wouldn't put any stock into this thinking that Anthem's broke. In fact, they're like, as far as generating revenue, last year was their best year. So could we say they're probably being cheap asses? I think I think there's an argument for that. I think what is likely happening is that some of these people were on bloated contracts, getting sweetheart deals because they were close to Scott D'Amore. And I'm not mad at that either. Scott was taking care of the homies, right? But I think that's one of the reasons why he's gone. It's because he was taking care of the homies. paying people extra who weren't really generating any revenue. Rhino was getting paid pretty well for a guy that might have had 10 to 12 matches last year. Okay. And capitalism fucking is cutthroat. And that's what we're seeing. And I'll break it down this way. Think of TNA like a football team with a salary cap. Okay. Or a small market baseball team with a budget. Right. And sometimes they get they sign these young talents and they groom them, they build them up, they become big stars, and the bigger football teams or the bigger baseball teams are going to come calling. They can't compete with those contract offers, right? So that happens to them. And then sometimes they sign kind of like these aging mid-level veterans, and they'll sign them to a certain deal. And at the end of their contract, they're like taking a look at how much money they're spending on these people. And I'll give you an example. The 49ers had this guy, defensive tackle. He was really good for a long time, named Eric Armstead. And he was with the team for like 9 years. Okay. But the last couple of years, 2022, 2023, he missed a lot of games. And he was projected to make like $19 million. Right. And they're like, hey, look, we can't bring you back at $19 million. We're not getting a return on our investment here. You've missed some games. Production's down a little bit. We think we can get somebody that's got similar type of production, but for a lot less money. Let's renegotiate down. They offered the guy $6 million and he turned him down, and kudos to him. He ends up going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now he's making $12 million a year. Okay. So San Francisco then goes out and they pick up Malik Collins, a defensive tackle from the Houston Texans. And they sign him to $6 million annual salary. Okay. Malik Collins has 30 tackles and 5 sacks this year. At $6 million a year. Eric Armstead, who was scheduled to make $19 million, making 12 for the Jacksonville Jaguars, has 24 tackles and 2 sacks. Okay? So now you see where like, they're like, hey, look, who's getting more return on their investment? The 49ers with Malik Collins or the Jacksonville Jaguars with Eric Armstead? Okay? So that's kind of how they're looking at it. Are they being cheap? You could say that. Are they being efficient? I think there's a good argument to be made there. And Lance Storm is on a show. Now, look, take what Lance says with a grain of salt, okay? He works there. He's not going to bury his own company. That'd be stupid, okay? But he also said that these were guys that we weren't really doing much with. That's also true, right? Rhino, Kushida, and Trent Seven, they were bottom of the card guys, despite the fact that Kushida had a main event whenever he was working for New Japan. He came in and Scott brought him in and Scott put him in the main event because Scott up trained the guy, right? Like, it's not like Kushida's like a main event draw. He just put him in the main event of Rebellion, and the pay-per-view did terrible, but that's Scott's guy. So he just, like, he made a promise to the guy. So brought him in, gave him a main event. So there you go. Right. And then later in the year, he ends up getting a contract and had a pretty decent money deal. They weren't really being used all that much. In fact, Trent Seven missed most of the summer. He was gone a lot. And I didn't think at one point he was coming back. And then he just showed up in October and finished out his deal. Right. It was weird though. In November or in October, he turned on Speedball, but then Speedball left the company. And then Trent Seven, who turned heel, ends up leaving the company in December. To me, it seems like the creative team and the leadership team are not really on the same page there. And that's pretty embarrassing because they just got, things are successful, but there's whatever reason, there's this disconnect within the leadership structure of that company. That's pretty embarrassing. Okay. Now, so that's what they're doing. Okay. Now, Legentil, King of the North says Legentil, Lance Gentle activity. So somebody then talked to Dr. Featherstone. I don't know who this guy is. But he's like this new writer. He's got a couple scoops. He said that none of this was true. It's like, I quote tweet as like, this is very good PR, but I can verify this. And this is absolutely true. Can I tell you exactly who in the company said it? Of course not. That would be stupid, right? Because then nobody would ever talk to anybody ever again. So that's why you don't do that. But I assure you that it is true. Some talents, when their deals were up, it's not like they went to somebody where it's not like they went to somebody whose contract is not up and was like, hey, I want you to take less money on this contract. That's not what happened. The deal was over. they said it will bring you, we'll bring you back, but at a lower rate. That's what happened. It wasn't like they went to Moose and said, hey, Moose, you're making X amount. We want you to make a lot less. And then now Moose is pissed. That's not what happened. Right. It's just a couple of lower card guys that they're like, they could stay or go. TNA doesn't really care. Right. And I know that sounds kind of mean because like Kushida is like great. And actually, I thought Trent Seven was pretty good in the company too. And I don't think Jay Chung's a bad ring announcer. I just think that they're like, we could probably get somebody from the indies to read out loud. You know what I mean? And pay them a lower rate than what Scott was paying his buddy that he spends Christmas with. Right. So that's what happened with the pay cuts. The pay cuts is happening. Is this a mass exodus? You can call it that, but it's not like people trying to leave. Like they wanted to stay. They just wanted to get paid more and they didn't. They're going to replenish all those people. They'll be done replenishing by like February. And this happens every year. I have to go on this podcast every year or Brace for Impact and explain what's going on with TNA. These short-term contracts that they do, sometimes they just don't keep a bunch of people. AJ Francis is another deal that's up. I think AJ Francis stays. I think that he's widened the tent. He's brought people in. I think he likes the type of media attention that he could bring. He gets them on to ESPN. He gets them on to hip-hop shows. He brings in like TikTok celebrities and shit like that, if you can call them celebrities, but he brings them in. And he's like a decent mid-level heel. I think that he'll get a pay raise. I think Mustafa Ali is coming back, and I think he's probably going to get paid a higher rate than what he had before, right? They would love to keep Josh. I think they would love to keep Josh. But once Scott D'Amore left, like that was the end of that. Like I don't think unless they come like offering him fucking AJ Styles money, I don't think that he's staying, right? So they're just going to put their focus elsewhere. Okay. Mike, can you break down the per appearance contracts and how that works when TNA only tapes with their schedule? Yeah, I think that's a great point. So there's lower ranking talent, right? That maybe they don't really have like a big name. I think Lady Frost was one of those people. There's several others. Kind of coming from the indies, this is like their first time being on TV. They sign in what is called to paid per appearance. I think Larry D was another one of those guys, Rohit Raju back in the day. What they do is they get you under contract for X amount of time, but they only pay you when you come to TV. And that doesn't preclude you from working anywhere else. You just have to, you can work all the indies that you want. You can do whatever you want, sell your own merch, yada, yada, yada. But that precludes you from like taking dates with AEW or whoever. And maybe MLW, I don't know if MLW would be part of that, but WWE, like if you want to take dates with them, you have to just get approval, right? And they would probably turn you down if you want to go to AEW, but if WWE wanted you, they'd probably say yes, like if they have a relationship with the company. But you can basically go anywhere outside of probably AEW, to be honest with you. So that's what those paid per appearance deals, they're not very favorable to the talent, right? And if I were a talent, if they were asking me, like, Mike, should I sign this deal? And I'm gonna be like, well, how desperate are you to get onto television that has maybe 90,000 viewers for whatever it is, for whatever, $500 per appearance? And you might get 10 appearances. And if AEW comes calling, you're already under a deal. You can't take that deal. Or if NXT wants you, now you got to go through TNA to get approval to take an NXT deal, right? Like how desperate are you for that? And if it's like, if you see it as like your only opportunity, then you're just going to have to go for it and hope it works out. It works out for some people. Like they get elevated to regular contracts. Eventually they work their way through the system and it turns out to be really successful. And then there's others. Like I think Larry D like retired because he's like, and then he ends up asking out of his deal and they let him out. I think recently, I don't know for a fact that Aiden Prince was on a pay per appearance deal, but I kind of would track that he would be on a deal like that. I know they have another guy named Shogun that won that fake gut check thing. It seems like he would be on one of those deals, probably like a guy like Skyler and Jason Hotch, those guys like towards the bottom of the card, like those types of dudes. Like it would seem like they're probably on pay per appearance. A guy like Rhino, Kushida, Trent Seven, these are veterans that have lots of TV experience. Those guys were probably on guarantees, right? They have like they're guaranteed a certain amount of dates, right? But the pay per appearance guys, they're not guaranteed a certain amount of dates. They just get paid when they come to TV. So like, hey, you're booked. You have to be here. And now we're going to pay you. Others, they're getting paid no matter what. Like if you book them or not, they're still getting paid, right? So there's different levels of contracts. And then you got your like, you got your like Moose, who's probably in like the mid six figures per year. And he's probably like, he gets paid whether he's like on a regular WWE type contract. So, except for he can work indies, right? Those guys can't. So it's like different. Like everybody has like their own agreement. You just have to be smart to work out your agreement. So I hope that made sense. I know that it's really fun for everybody to, you get more engagement when you doom tweet about TNA, about, you know, them being too poor to honor. Like I saw somebody said they're too poor to honor a contract. I was like, that, like, none of that is true. It's not even remotely true. They just see these people that got signed that they just don't think are worth it. And I'll be honest, it probably would have been better to not offer them a deal at all. Because by offering them low money, you're probably, that was your way of telling them you don't want them to come back. And so that's probably, like, I would say that's bad form. If it was like, you just didn't want them to come back, be like, oh, I don't want to insult the guy, so I'll offer him less money. When in reality, offering them less money is actually more insulting, right? Could any of them come back? I think so. I think that, like, if they don't get signed somewhere else, Kushida could always go back to Japan and make decent money with New Japan. He had a dual contract in New Japan and TNA. I don't think he gets, you know, would he get picked up by AEW? I don't know. I like Kushida. He's great, but he's Kushida. Like, New Japan doesn't even push this guy, right? New Japan gave up on him like almost a decade ago. So would Ring of Honor bring him in? Maybe. Like, he's a good wrestler, you know? And it's like, it really just depends on if Tony Khan was a big fan of his. Cause those are the types of guys that he brings in, guys that he kind of grew up watching. So maybe he would bring him in. I don't know. Trent Seven. I don't think he's going back to WWE. I don't think he's going back to AEW. I don't think he's ever been to AEW. I don't think he goes to either company. He's like a guy that I can see just like in like 4 months, he's like, well, some money is better than no money. He'll just come back. Right. Rhino. I think that he can go back and get a job as an NXT coach in a heartbeat. And in fact, I think I could see that. Right. He was on NXT recently. I could see that.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
So I hope I explained it well. Everything Pro Wrestling, what's up, brother? So personally, I'm still not feeling a Tessa coming in. Do we have an update on NYC LA ticket sales? Well, they just did the pre-sale, and I don't have any stats on that. I might have something over the weekend. Dobby the Brain Heenan does the counts for everybody. So we'll see if we get a count on that. I'm not too sure. I don't know what we'll get. I know the tickets go on sale tomorrow for all the markets. They did a major mega on sale. It was weird. They actually did something smart. They sent Kazarian and Nick Nemeth to a USC basketball game, and like USC basketball, their Twitter account was like actually tweeting about him, and then they gave him a title belt. They did a whole thing there. Speaking of title belts, who in the chat thought that Moose was retiring the X Division title? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. So I know some of you, at least one of you, thought that Moose was retiring the X Division championship because they saw a spoiler that said Moose threw down the belt. And I was like, it looks like he's going to get a custom belt. And then everybody's like, no, he's retiring the X Division. The X Division is going away, TNA, LOL. Some of you guys are ridiculous. He's getting a custom belt. I can say that I have seen the title belt. It is a beautiful belt. It's got an orange strap. It still says X Division on it. It's got the system engraved on the side. It looks beautiful. I think Moose is going to debut it at Genesis. That's all that's happening. In fact, you might even debut it earlier, but I think people are kind of having fun with the fact that everybody was so wrong about that. Moose said something about it tonight, which is pretty funny, actually. Not that I want to get like Moose's back, but it's like, he's like, you guys got to stop reading your news on Twitter, which is pretty funny. I actually saw like pictures of the belt. It looks nice. It's not that out of the ordinary for a company to do a custom belt for one of their champions, especially like a heel, but, it's pretty wild. So, I thought that was funny. Look, yes, King of the North. I read the spoilers and reached out for clarity. So yeah. Let's see. We got a couple more questions and then I got to roll out. Looks like JD is not going to be able to call in. So this was just a solo show for this week. And then we'll be back on Sunday. We'll release the show early on Sunday for everybody on Patreon. And then shortly after we'll get it out free to everybody on the Voices of Wrestling Network. After we record Sunday night, Everything Pro Wrestling, Mike, what free agents would you add to each TNA division? I think that's a great question. I think I would like to see Trevor Lee come back and work in the X division. He's not as good as Speedball, but he's still pretty good. He's got a name from WWE and he's a former TNA X division champion. He has not been picked up by AEW at this point, and who knows if he will be. He's working some MLW stuff. I saw some stuff that he did with Deadlock Pro and he looked really good. I think he's a really talented kid. He's got history in the company. The Hardys are there. They're like big brothers to him. So I would like to see him come back to the X division. I think that's like home for him. Although he clearly wants to just be in WWE, but now I thought they were going to bring him in sooner, but what everybody needs to know about, like, you know how I mentioned that TNA is like a football team with a salary cap. They didn't have any room for him at the time to bring in new talent. So now that all these people are falling off the books, I think we could see a guy like him. Heavyweight division. I see people saying Baron Corbin. I'm not a fan of his. I don't think he's particularly very good. I could see them liking him because he's a football player, and you can see how they treat Moose and AJ Francis because they got the NFL background. I could see them being kind of smitten with him, to be honest with you, despite the fact that it's just like, he played so many different characters in WWE, so he's obviously very versatile, but I don't think any character I ever played was particularly very good. And I'm not just a fan of his ring work, to be quite honest. That doesn't mean he can't have a good match. I'm sure he could. But I just didn't really care for what he did in WWE. Now, if he changed his character and he had some compelling character and he was shooting vignettes on his own and was trying to overhaul everything, okay, I might be interested. But if he's just going to come in as his regular name, but Tom Pestock, like nobody wants to... Like, if you have a guy named Tom Pestock at the top of the card, does that make you curious about what that wrestler is? No, I don't think so. People say Baron Corbin, I'd rather not. Mustafa Ali, I think, bring back. I think he's probably already, like, locked in. Donovan Dijak, I'd kick the tires on, to be honest with you. I think he's clearly a very good wrestler. He's just not good at tweeting. He says some stupid stuff, but... like if you say stupid stuff that gets you out of that, turns people off in major networks, I think you're like perfect for TNA. So, cause a lot of their talent, like Moose especially, says stupid stuff. I would definitely bring him in. There's some indie talents out there that I really like. Like I like Kevin Blackwood. I think he's pretty good. Titus Alexander. He's been working some Noah stuff and I know he's over on West Coast Pro. I think he's really good. I'd like to see those guys be brought in. Manders, and he's got a tag team partner in Deadlock Pro Wrestling. His name escapes me, but he's like a big cowboy dude. I'm a fan of large cowboy wrestlers. Shout out Black Bart. Shout out. Oh, I was wearing my Joe Doring t-shirt tonight, but my son puked on it. So sorry. Shout out Joe Doring. But those guys. And then as far as women wrestlers, man, WWE kind of like, and AEW kind of signed up everybody, and the WWE ID program kind of took everybody away. But my answer is now and always will be probably Megan Bain. Even if you have to bring in Joey Janela, and I would hate to see Joey Janela. Like, I don't want to cover his work. He's annoying. But if it gets us Megan Bain, I'm like, okay, go ahead. So I would like that. Let's see. Miyu Yamashita is really good, and she's been in the company a couple of times, and I wish that she would. Like, I know she's like locked in. Oh, Jada Stone. Yes. Yes, sir. Jada Stone. She's worked TVs before. I think she looks really good. In fact, it wouldn't shock me if she was not locked in, like on one of those per appearance deals. So those are some of the talents. Tag teams, I like Violence is Forever. I think it's a good tag team. There's another tag team out there. They're kind of doing an Outrunners gimmick, so if you alter the gimmick a little bit, but Midnight Heat on the West Coast looks pretty good. So those are some of the people. Women. I'm not a fan of Indy Hartwell, but who is the other one that blew up both her knees? I think they should probably bring her in, the woman no knees. Like, she's pretty famous. I just can't remember. Tegan Knox. I think they should bring in Tegan Knox. She's like really good, and I think that's like a feel good story if she can kind of come back from all her injuries and then and do all that. So that would be good. All right, Voices of Wrestling fans, I do apologize that this was a heavily TNA show, but I had TNA people in the chat, and I made the mistake of putting a TNA topic in the description. So of course that's what they wanted to talk about. Okay. I'm going to save the good and bad of AEW for Sunday. So I do apologize for that. I'll take that off of the title. So we were going to talk about the good and bad because JD had some specific things that he wanted to say, and I was going to react to what he had to say. And we'll talk about that on Sunday. What I do have to say is Ricochet is a geek. I'm at the point now where I never want to see Ricochet utter another single word ever again. I don't want to hear his laugh. I don't want to look at his stupid suits. I don't want him to see a backstage interview, in the ring interview. I never want to hear this man speak again. I want him to put a mask on because I just hate his face now. I want Prince Puma back. That's what we need. Prince Puma. Prince Puma ruled, right? Ricochet that never talks rules. AEW Ricochet is the worst Ricochet I've ever seen. Really good wrestler, though. King of the North, how many stars for Ospreay versus Darby? I don't give higher than 5. 5. That was easy 5. I loved that match so much. I thought it was the highlight of the show. One of the best TV matches of the year. I have a couple above it, to be honest with you. Like, I still rate them at 5 because I just don't like going above 5. I just think that's weird, right? Like, to just not have a cap. So, like, I have to rank, I have to rate, like, award packages, and I have to rate, like, performance reports. And you can only go above 10 on those things. And it would be weird to me, like, well, to give two people 10, it's like, okay, well, this one I think is better, but they're still 10, so I'm going to give them an 11. That would just make no sense to me. But it's one of my favorite TV matches of the year. I loved it. I think everybody should go back and take a look at it. Honestly, the show should have ended at that point because one of the negative things I had to say about AEW is this Death Rider stuff. I'm done with. I just, that got no interest anymore. And that sucks because I'm such a hardcore Moxley fan. I was a big fan of his when he was Dean Ambrose, and like him coming to AEW was like a big moment for me because I was like, finally, the chains are off. Finally, the chains are off. And he could be everything that I want him to be. And he's still great. And he's been a cornerstone of the company since he's been on. But this current storyline stinks. It started out really good, but it stinks now. So King says, I think it's the best match of the year. I wouldn't disagree with that. I really like Ospreay versus Josh Alexander from Impact earlier this year. I like this one's right up there. And I'm trying to like pinpoint, there has been like another couple really good matches. Like it's been a good year for wrestling TV. So there's been a lot of really good TV matches this year. Like there is every year. But I think this one kind of being at the end of the year, that might help it get the voting that it needs to be like TV match of the year. In a year where there's been a lot of really good TV matches. So, but okay. Lastly, JD is going to go off on Superman on Sunday, but I got to tell you, I thought this trailer was so great. I have not been interested in a Superman movie since I was a kid. I have not liked any of the last movies that have come out in the last 20 years. I like the original. I like the ones from the 70s and 80s. They're like cornball stuff. They don't really hold up very well. But I think this trailer is going to set the new standard for what a superhero movie is. I hope it delivers after watching that trailer. I really do. I think it's fantastic. I like that they're bringing the Crypto, the super dog. My kid really liked the DC, like the Super Pets movie. She really liked that movie. I took her to the theater to go watch it. And this new Superman looks tremendous. And Io says it perfectly. It says James Gunn just gets it. Yeah, James Gunn absolutely gets it. He knows what he's doing. Guardians of the Galaxy, there's no miss there. Like, he nailed it with all those movies. He's tremendous. And so I'm really glad. I hope he takes over Batman. I hope he does. Because the last emo Batman, like, it wasn't like a bad movie. I just didn't feel like a Batman movie to me. So I'm excited to hear what JD has to say about it. But all right, guys, I have to get family is calling me downstairs. I apologize for going a little bit short. Apologize for going solo. And I know some of you Voices of Wrestling people wanted to hear rants about AEW. You're going to get that. You're going to get that coming down the pike on Monday. If you haven't had enough of Joe Lanza doing the same thing on his show, I get the feeling that we're not too far off of what Joe says, but we're going to have our own takes, our own spin. We're going to record live on Sunday night. We'll release it to everybody we'll release it to the public on Monday. So head to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. Please support the podcast. I will be back with some TNA stuff this week. Probably not live on Saturday though, because I do have an event first thing Saturday morning, but I might do something Saturday night for everybody. So stay tuned for that. patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, comment, make sure you're subscribed. We're almost 2000. All right. It really mean a lot to me to get to 2000. So get us to 2000, hit that subscription button. I'd greatly appreciate it. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me this time on the Mike and JD Show. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no way from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no way.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.